The following is a free-for-download audiobook available on krishnapath.org. The Laws of Nature, Chapter 1, Part 2, Krishna, the Controller and Owner of All. In the Isha-Upanishad, the word Isha is used to describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Isha means, quote, controller. Do you think you're controlled or not? Is there any person anywhere within this universe who is not controlled? Can anyone say, quote, I am not controlled, end quote? Nobody can say that. So, if you are controlled, then why do you declare, quote, I am not controlled, I am independent, I am God, end quote? Why this nonsense? Mayavadi impersonalists claim, quote, I am God, you are God, everyone is God, end quote. But if they are controlled, how can they be God? Does this make any sense? God is never controlled. He's the supreme controller. So, if somebody is controlled, immediately we should know that he is not God. Of course, some rascals claim that they are not controlled. I know one such rascal who has a society and is preaching, quote, I am God, end quote. But one day I saw him with a toothache. He was moaning, quote, oh, end quote. So I asked him, quote, you claim that you are God, the supreme controller, but now you're under the control of a toothache. What kind of God are you? End quote. So if you see someone who claims that he is God or that everyone is God, you should immediately know that such a person is a number one rascal. Now, this is not to say that the living entities are not controllers to some extent. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that the living entities are his superior energy. Why are the living entities superior energy? Because they are conscious, whereas the material energy is not. Therefore, the living entities can control the material energy to some extent. For example, all the paraphernalia in this temple has been made from matter, earth, water, fire, and air. But it was a living entity who molded the material energy into this paraphernalia for the purpose of worshiping Krishna. Another example, before people came from Europe, this land of America was mostly vacant. The people who lived here before that did not fully exploit it. But the Europeans came and developed into a country with great industries and roads. So the superior energy, the living entities, can have some control over the material energy. That Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita 7.5. Yedam Dharate Jagat. The importance of this material world is due to the living entities. A big city like Los Angeles, New York, or London is valuable as long as the living entities are there. Similarly, the body is valuable as long as the living entity, the soul, is there. Therefore, the soul is superior to matter. But that superior energy is being misused to exploit matter for sense gratification. That is conditioned life. We have forgotten that, although we are superior to matter, we are still subordinate to God. The people of the modern civilization do not care for God because they are intoxicated with their superiority over matter. They are simply trying to exploit matter in different ways. But they are forgetting that all people, American, Russian, Chinese, Indian, are subordinate to God. They have forgotten Krishna and want to enjoy this material world. That is their disease. So, the duty of the devotee of the Lord is to invoke people's Krishna consciousness. The devotee explains to them, quote, you are superior to matter, but you are subordinate to Krishna. Therefore, you should not try to enjoy matter, but rather use it for his enjoyment, end quote. For example, we have decorated this temple not for our sense gratification, but for Krishna's pleasure. What is the difference between us and ordinary people? They're decorating their apartment very nicely, and we are decorating our place very nicely. But the purpose is different. We're doing it for Krishna, and they are doing it for themselves. Whether you decorate your personal apartment or Krishna's temple, Your superiority over matter remains since you are utilizing matter for your purposes. But when you apply your intelligence toward utilizing matter for Krishna's pleasure, your life is successful, whereas when you apply the same intelligence for your sense gratification, you become entangled in material nature and feel anxiety. Then you have to change bodies, one after another. Krishna is the supreme controller of both the inferior energy, matter, and the superior energy, the Jivatma, ourselves. We are Krishna's superior energy because we can control the material world, but that control is also conditional. We have only limited control over this material world, but Krishna has control over us. Therefore, whatever control we have, he has sanctioned. For example, a human being can manufacture this nice microphone using his intelligence. That means it has been able to control matter to a certain degree to fulfill his desire. But where has his intelligence come from? Krishna has given man his superior intelligence. In the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Krishna says, "Sarvasya chaham riti sannivisto matasmiti gyanam apohanam cha." Quote, "I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness." End quote. Therefore, the supreme controller is giving intelligence to the superior energy in the form of a body. Quote, "Do this, now do that," end quote. This direction is not whimsical. The person wanted to do something in his past life, but in his present life, he forgets. So Krishna reminds him, quote, "You wanted to do this. Here is an opportunity," end quote. So although you have superior intelligence, that is controlled by Krishna. If Krishna gives you the intelligence, you can manufacture this nice microphone. Otherwise, you cannot. Therefore, in every sphere of life, we are controlled by Krishna. We can also see Krishna's control on the universal level. For example, there are so many huge planets. This Earth planet is only a small one. Similarly, still, on this planet, there are big oceans like the Atlantic and the Pacific, as well as big mountains and skyscraper buildings. Yet, despite all this load, the Earth is floating in the air like a swab of cotton. Who is floating it? Can you float even a grain of sand in the air? You may talk about the law of gravity or so many other things, but you cannot control it. Your airplane is flying in the sky, but as soon as petrol is finished, it will immediately fall. So, if it takes so many scientists to build an airplane that can float only temporarily in air, is it possible that this huge Earth is floating on its own accord? No. Krishna declares in Bhagavad Gita 15:13, quote, "I enter into this material, into the material planets and keep them afloat," end quote. Just as to keep an airplane aloft, a pilot has to enter it. So to keep this earth aloft, Krishna has entered it. This is the simple truth. We have to take knowledge from Krishna. We shouldn't accept any process of gaining knowledge except hearing from Krishna or his representative. Then we will have first-class knowledge. If you find an authority who is representing Krishna and who can speak on the subject matter, and if you accept the knowledge he gives, then your knowledge is perfect. Of all the processes for receiving knowledge, the least reliable is sense perception. Suppose someone asks, quote, "Can you show me God?" end quote. That means he wants to experience everything directly. But this is a second-class process for gaining knowledge because our senses are imperfect and we are prone to mistakes. Suppose you need some gold but don't know where to purchase it. You go to a proprietor of a hardware store and ask, quote, "Do you have any gold in stock?" end quote. He will immediately understand that you are a first-class fool because you have come to purchase gold in a hardware store. Therefore, he will try to cheat you. He will give you a piece of iron and say, quote, "Here's gold," end quote. Then what can you say? Will you accept that iron as gold? Because you do not know what gold is. You have gone to a hardware store to purchase it. You will get a piece of iron and be cheated. Similarly, rascals who demand that they be shown God and who do not know what God is, and therefore they are being cheated by so many bogus spiritual teachers who claim that they're God. that is happening. If you want to purchase gold, you must have at least some preliminary knowledge of what gold is. Similarly, if you want to see God, the first requirement is that you must know some of the basic characteristics of God. Otherwise, if you go to some rascal and he claims to be God and you accept him as God, you'll be cheated. Another question we should ask when someone says, quote, I want to see God, end quote, is, quote, what qualification do you have to see God, end quote? God is not so cheap that he can be seen by anybody and everyone. No, the Krishna consciousness movement does not present any nonsense or cheap thing. If you want to see God face to face, then you must follow the rules and regulations. You must chant Hare Krishna and purify yourself. Then gradually the time will come when you are purified and you will see God. Still, even though in your present contaminated condition you are not qualified to see God, he is so kind that he allows you to see him in his deity form in the temple. In that form, he agrees to be seen by everyone. Whether or not one knows he is God, the deity is not an idol. It is not imagination. The knowledge of how to construct the deity and install him on the altar is received from the scripture and the superior acharyas, or spiritual masters. Therefore, the authorized deity in the temple is Krishna himself and can fully appreciate your love and service. With your present blunt material senses, however, you cannot immediately perceive God's spiritual form, name, qualities, pastimes, and paraphernalia. And because Krishna and the present civilization have no power to understand God, nor are they guided by some person who can help them understand God, they have become godless. But if you read the Vedic scriptures, like the Isha-Upanishad and Bhagavad Gita, under superior guidance and follow the rules and regulations, eventually God will be revealed to you. You cannot see God or understand God by your own endeavor. You have to surrender to the process by which God can be known. Then he will reveal himself. He's the supreme controller. You are being controlled. So how can you control God? Quote, oh God, come here. I want to see you. God is not so cheap that by your order he will come and be seen by you. No, that is not possible. You must always remember, quote, God is the supreme controller, and I am controlled. So if I can please God by my service, then he will reveal himself to me, end quote. That is the process of knowing God. Ultimately, this process leads to love of God. That is real religion. It doesn't matter whether you follow the Hindu, Muslim, or Christian religion. If you're developing love of God, then you are perfect in your religion. And what kind of love should we develop for God? It must be without any selfish motivation. Quote, O Lord, I love you because you supply me so many nice things. You are my order supplier. End quote. No, we should not have this sort of love for God. It should not depend on any exchange. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, quote, O Lord, whether you trample me under your feet or embrace me or make me brokenhearted by not being present before me, that does not matter. You are completely free to do anything. You are my worshipable Lord unconditionally. End quote. That is love. We should think, quote, God may do whatever he likes, yet I will still love him. I don't want anything in exchange. End quote. That is the sort of love Krishna wants. That is why he is so fond of the gopis. In the gopis' love, there is no question of business exchanges. Quote, give me this, then I'll love you, end quote. Their love was pure, unalloyed, without any impediment. If you try to love God in this way, nothing in the whole world can check you. You only have to develop your eagerness. Krishna, I want you, end quote. That's all. Then there is no question of being stopped. In any condition, your love will increase. If you attain that state, you will feel fully satisfied. It is not that God wants you to love him for his benefit. It is for your benefit. If you do otherwise, you will never be happy.